Hello, everyone, and welcome to the third season of Here's the Deal with Kylie. I am your host, Kylie Larson. In this first episode, I am talking to Mike Fitch, who is the passionate creator of the movement modality called Animal Flow. In this episode, I ask Mike about his background as a personal trainer and how he came to develop this phenomenal movement that is Animal Flow. We talk about how learning a new movement is a fantastic way to elicit change in your body, period. If you're trying to make change with your habits or you're trying to change your physique, learning something new is a great way to go about that because you have to slow down, you have to think, and you have to be intentional. You have to be present, and that allows you to create new neural pathways in your brain. We talk about the difference between animal flow and other forms of movement like capoeira, parkour, and yoga, and how while all of them are movement and you might see some similarities within those modalities, it's the intention behind them that separates them. We also talked to Mike about a documentary that he put together called We Invite You to Move. And this documentary is not just about animal flow, but it's about you finding a form of movement that you love to do so that when you get moving, you keep moving. And when you start moving, then you want to start eating better. And it just trickles over into all other areas of your life. So enjoy this episode with Mike Fitch and make sure you check out Animal Flow on their website, animalflow.com. And also Mike's Instagram, which is mikefitch.af. Welcome back to Here's the Deal, everyone. We are talking to Mike Fitch today, and he is the creator of Animal Flow. And I'm so excited to talk to you because I'm obsessed with the way you move your body and the way you get other people to move. So before we dive in, thanks for being here. And can you tell everyone just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me, first of all. It's really good to see you. And it's good. I'm looking forward to this conversation quite a bit. It's funny, you actually threw me off with that first question because typically the first question is, tell me about Animal Flow. And then you said, tell me about yourself. And I'm like, who am I? I don't know. I'm a Cancer. I like to journal. I don't know.
Oh, I love you already.
My name's Mike. I've been in the fitness space, the movement space for over 20 years. I'm currently living in Boulder. As I mentioned before we pressed record, I just moved into a new house, so I'm feeling very chaotic at the moment as half of my stuff is like packed away, half of it's in a car in the other house. My name's Mike. I'm chaotic.
I love it. Well, here's what you mentioned. So you've been in this fitness space for 20 years. What did it look like before? 20 years ago, what were you doing?
Yeah, so I started as a personal trainer when I was 19 years old, and I started in New York City. I was living in New York City at the time, and I started with a great company that really, really pushed the education part of training onto their trainers. And you know, they had quite an extensive education system. And living in New York, like basically, you know, cutting my teeth as a personal trainer in New York City at a very young age was quite challenging, to say the least. Mm-hmm. But you know, being a little bit of a body geek, I just really immersed myself in the education part and then just continued to be that self-study guy ever since and just really, you know, jump into anything that interested me. So I did what most fitnessy people did. I just kind of like, as something new would pop up, I'd really jump into it. And so when I was younger, I was really into Olympic lifts. I was really into pre-post rehabilitation. I was really into kettlebells when they first became popular in the US. And then I eventually found myself where most guys do, some women, where I just decided I wanted to be jacked and be as big and strong as I could possibly be. And my entire life focused around mass. And yeah, that was fun for a little bit, and I was probably walking around about 50 pounds heavier than I am now, and it was, I just intuitively, I felt like, man, I'm only honoring one or two elements of my entire human system, yeah, and there's so much more to explore, and I just felt like I was putting putting my growth potential, and when I say growth, I mean growth as a human, not growth in a hypertrophy way. But I was putting it into a box. I was putting limitations on it, and I realized that I wanted something different. And I had just turned 30, or I was about to turn 30, and even though 30 is so young, I was still thinking like, man, to train to last, like, am I training right now for the body that I want to experience 10, 20, 30 years from now? Or am I training for today, tomorrow? Mm-hmm. So I think when you start to get into that headspace, you know, it changes your perspective and you start looking at everything with a different lens, because let's face it, when you're in the later stages of your life, you may no longer be into kettlebell training. You may no longer be into CrossFit. You may no longer be in whatever, but you're still going to be in your body. And the way in which we treat our bodies now will dictate how we experience our bodies later down the road. So with that being the case, I decided to drop the weights 100% and just start exploring body weight stuff. So I didn't get into movement right away. I started with calisthenics and I really, really enjoyed like street workout, really enjoyed the high skill level body weight stuff. So, you know, freestanding handstand pushups, human flags, hand balancing pistol squats, etc. And I love this newfound like power that you don't need anything. You know, you don't need anything. We are in the most sophisticated piece of exercise machinery known to man. So, you know, just that idea of like a little bit of space is a gym, something to hang from is a luxury gym. Like I loved having that shift in perspective. And so that was my first introduction into the power of just inhabiting our vessels better. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I started getting more into movement.
I think that's so key. My big message with my clients is, you know, the sustainability, and nutrition is a big part of what I do, but it also applies to movement, obviously. And I can see that in like the evolution of people that I watch. It's like, and even for myself, I'll ask myself, well, what's the point? Like, I love lifting weights, but I also want to be mobile, right? I practice the yoga. I'm learning how to practice the animal flow because I want to be a good mover when I'm 80, 90, et cetera. I just think that's really cool that you learned that or you saw that when you were so young. So
yeah. And now I'm 40, about to turn 42. And I'm really glad that I made that decision at 30.
Right.
And also really excited that I now have that knowledge for the rest of my life. So
mm-hmm. I know
there's a win.
We're the same age.
We're the same age.
Same age. Yep. Look at us. Just kids.
Look at us. Just crushing.
Totally. So how did you, I would love to know what your brain was thinking. There you are. You're doing handstands and human flags and pistol squats. And then you're like, maybe I could do this. Or how did you come up with animal flow?
Yeah. So keep in mind, I mean, even though calisthenics can be so powerful and so challenging in so many different ways, it's still very linear. So when you think about it, like you're holding isometrics or you're mostly pressing, pushing, pulling in sagittal plane dominant positions. So it is still limited. And even though that's always been my base, mm-hmm. I decided like, well, you know, there are definitely some other things out there that I haven't explored that I want to explore. So I got into gymnastics. That was the first thing that, and the calisthenics really led to gymnastics. And that was interesting, you know, being the oldest person and the worst person in the class by far. And that was quite shocking to me and revealing, because at that moment I was like, oh, wow, I've been training my body for so long, working on my body for so long, I don't know how to use it. Like, yeah. I don't know how to use it other than these like very specific movements. Yeah. So instead of being defeated, I was just really inspired. And I thought, you know, well, there's so much more out here for me to explore. So I got into breaking or breakdancing, and again, blew my mind how terrible I was. And then from there, I got into parkour, which really, it really gelled with me a lot. I really, really enjoyed practicing parkour. And then from there, I dabbled in circus arts. I really got into hand balancing. And you know, I was just thinking, wow, all of these things that I'm experiencing, my clients could certainly benefit from, but they're never going to go join an adult gymnastics class, mm-hmm. or, you know, go take a breaking class. So I started pulling inspiration from the classes and the coaches that I was working with. And, you know, I would like teach my clients a six step, or I would take some animal locomotion from the parkour warmups and start incorporating it into my training sessions. And so, and I noticed right away that my clients really loved how different it was from the traditional styles of training and how challenging it was to them right away. And they're like, oh, wow, this is really cool. There's something here. And then, of course, there's the flow component. So that was one of the things when I first truly started to experience flow, it changed everything for me. So, you know, when I was younger, I grew up as a skateboarder and as a musician. So I experienced flow in those realms, but I never experienced flow in, like, and I hate to say the way I'd say the word working out, but the way in which I was training for a higher level of flow, if that makes sense.
It does.
So I just thought, well, you know, it would be really great if there was a system that anyone could come into and feel successful at right away. But if they chose to get deeper into it, they certainly could. Mm-hmm. So this would not just be something that, you know, like they had to dedicate their entire life to. It's just something that if they chose to get deeper into it, they could, or they could use specific movements as specific tools to elicit specific results. Mm-hmm. So that was the concept in creating the Animal Flow system in the first place. And because I was coming from a personal training background, I understood programming. I understood periodization. I was also, again, I was coming from, I spent a lot of time as a medical exercise specialist. So working with a lot of pre-post rehabilitation patients. And with that, you know, you have a lot of isolated corrective exercises, mm-hmm. which are great and really, really helpful and useful. People don't typically find them really fun.
Yeah.
So that was another idea, like, you know, that was part of the catalyst is, can you create something that gives people the opportunity to build better coordination, stability, mobility, et cetera, in a way that they enjoy it, they want to do it, they ask to do more of it every time they come in and train. Mm-hmm. And that was the birth of Animal Flow. And then it was just figuring out how the pieces fit together and how to create a language around it, and then how to start incorporating it not only into training sessions as individual tools, but also into class formats. Mm-hmm. So you could run these class formats and then eventually onto teaching personal trainers and other fitness professionals how to use it with their clients.
Yeah, you're so right. I mean, I've gone to PT a couple times for a few things. You know, in order for PT to work, you have to do the exercises, but you're right. I mean, nobody wants to sit there and do the little minute things that PT takes, although you need to do them. Everyone do your PT.
You do.
Yeah, you need to do them. And the other part that I love about it is, you know, because you are having to think again, you have to think about how to move your body. That's a great way to facilitate change in all other areas of your life. I feel like your Animal Flow is a really powerful tool just to create those new neural pathways that we all, as we get set in our ways or we're looking to change our habits, I feel like those two things, your movement goes hand in hand with personal development. I don't know if you've ever seen the crossover, but I think they go hand in hand.
Absolutely. So the entire system is based on four pillars. And the first one is connection communication. And when I say connection communication, those words, we use them synonymously. They're interchangeable with each other. And within that connection communication pillar, there are three subcategories. And one is conscious connection. So it's mind. Mm-hmm. So it's how we connect to our body with mindfulness. And you know, it's very, very common to see people totally disconnected from their systems, especially now, because there's so much going on. There's so much stimulus that's competing for our attention and our brain energy. So what we've seen is when you place hands and feet in contact with the ground and you ask people to perform these movement tasks, it's very difficult for them to think about anything else that's happening in their world other than what they're doing at that very moment. So it's like we're inviting them back inside of their body. We're inviting them back inside of their system. Then we have that second subcategory, which is the brain, which is the cognitive part. So, you know, anecdotally, we would always have people that would come up in the first few years of Animal Flow. People would come up and they're like, I don't know if there's a connection here, but I noticed that when I practice Animal Flow a lot, I feel like, I don't know, like my concentration's better, my memory's better, et cetera. And eventually in 2016, a couple of researchers who were Animal Flow advocates did a study where they looked at animal flow or novel quadrupedal movement on cognition, and they found that there were noticeable increases in markers of cognition just in a 4-week quadrupedal movement program or animal flow training in 4 weeks. So that's pretty cool. So it is the mind connection. It is also the brain communicating with itself.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised at all. I think that is absolutely fascinating. The fact that you have to think about what you're doing and get back into your body. Because like you said, we're just so disconnected from what's going on. You know, as a trainer and some, you know, I run a programs different, an online training and nutrition program. But when people are, should I take a rest day? I'm like, well, what's your body saying? Well, I don't know what my body's saying. Well, time for some animal flow. So let's now talk about the documentary that you guys have done, We Invite You to Move. What was the purpose behind it? Tell me all the things about it.
Okay. So we started off, you know, okay, let me back up.
Sure.
When people hear the name animal flow, they're always like, what is that? Is it all about acting like animals? Or they see it and they go, oh, is that capoeira? Is that, you know, and they always associate it with something that they know that looks visually similar.
Yeah.
So we set out with this idea that we wanted to create this mini documentary that just kind of told the story of animal flow, where it came from, what the inspirations were, give credit back to the things that I experienced that were big, motivating, you know, styles to me. And so I grabbed a couple of my friends who are in the area who have dedicated their lives to these specific styles. So one of my friends, Alex, is this incredible break dancing guy, B-boy. Like, I want to make sure everyone understands. He's like, dude, you can't say breakdancing. That's like not cool.
I know.
You have to say like breaking or B-boy. Anyways, so I recruited Alex for an interview. I recruited another friend, Amos, who is a legendary parkour guy. And then I also grabbed another friend who is a modern and contemporary dancer, because dance has also been really influential to me. And I just started doing these interviews with them. And as I'm doing these interviews, I wasn't interviewing them about animal flow. I was interviewing them about the thing that they love to do so much. And we were talking about certain topics like, you know, why is free movement so important to the human body? What is flow? How do we practice to experience more flow? How did they get started? That was one of the questions I would ask them. And as I'm conducting these interviews, I'm watching them and watching them light up when they talk about this thing that they love so much. And as I'm doing this, I'm like, wow, this is the story I want to tell. It felt very self-serving at that point to want to make a mini documentary about animal flow and how animal flow came about. It really, the message became abundantly clear, which is encourage people to find the thing that they love to do, not the thing that they think that they have to do, you know, because we have these worlds of what exercise and working out. A lot of people think that it's something they should do, they have to do, they're told they're supposed to do it, their spouse wants them to do it, they know they need to lose 10 pounds, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they don't look at it as an enjoyable thing. And if you're listening to me right now and you're going, yeah, I love to work out, great. Congratulations. Like, I'm preaching to the choir for that small percentage, but there are a lot of people, a very high percentage of people who are absolutely sedentary and don't have a hobby that is physical. They don't have daily activity that's physical. They don't like to quote unquote exercise. So how do we encourage some of those people to just try anything? Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to take some of the dogma away from some of the other, you know, styles that are like, this is the only way. This is the way that you have to do. This is the only way you can work out. This is the only way that you can exercise. This is the only way that you can stretch. This is the only, and it's, that's bullshit. Like, I'm sorry. It's just, it is, because you can have the best program in the entire world. If the person hates doing it and they don't do it, they're not getting the benefits. So who cares? Mm-hmm. But if they find something that they truly enjoy, something that they love doing, something that they want to do, then that's probably going to trickle into the other parts of their life. So they'll probably end up wanting to eat better, sleep more, you know, all those things. It's a domino effect. Yeah. So And, you know, it could be, and that was the main message, is it could be anything. It doesn't matter. Like, just start trying things. And when you do, know that you're going to suck at them, and that's okay. Like, you know, keep the child's mind, mm-hmm. leave the ego behind. Just go and have fun. And if it sticks with you, great. If it doesn't, go find something else.
I love that. I can't remember if I already said it, but in the training that I went to, it was so, if you have the right mindset, you have to have the right mindset. This is an awesome opportunity to work on your mindset. You have to be a beginner. You're not going to know how to do it. And to me, that's a beautiful thing. The pressure is off when you're a beginner, and that allows you to just have fun. There's no expectation. I'm going to know how to do X, Y, or Z, but guess what? It's kind of fun falling on your butt. You know what I mean? It's kind of fun learning how to get back up, and you can laugh at yourself. I think a lot of us aren't able to laugh at ourselves, but when you're learning something new, that's a great opportunity to practice that. And you're exactly right. People just need to be moving.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, we have a tendency, I mean, we're wired to go towards the things that make us feel safe and comfortable and the things that we're good at. We don't typically want to lean into the things that expose our weaknesses. Mm-hmm. So it's really common, you know, for people to either not begin or they just do the same thing. So mm-hmm. they're like, oh, I like to cycle, so I'm just going to cycle. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's super awesome. That's better than not doing anything. But also remember, at some point, you have to begin to add new input into the system. You have to begin to start adding new challenges, new skills, you know, because the thing is, our bodies are these incredible adaptation machines for the better and for the worse, for the good and the bad, you know. So whenever we do these things over and over and over again, everything from, you know, a cellular level, I mean, our tissues adapt, our nervous system adapts, our bones adapt, our joints adapt, our respiratory system adapts, like, to doing the same thing over and over again. So that's why when we start to add in new stimulus, new challenges, new experiences, that will allow us to start creating more resilient bodies, because, you know, a variety of loads helps with resiliency, which goes back to what we were talking about earlier, the train to last thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, to give yourself the permission to go and try stuff and be really bad at it and know that you're going to suck at it and know that every single person who's there, who's good at it, started at the exact same place, which is sucking at it.
Yes. I mean, honestly, people just need to get over themselves. I say that a lot, like, just get over yourself and let's do this thing. But to your point about the adaptation, don't you feel that Animal Flow is the perfect complement to whatever anyone is already doing? Like, if you're strength training, awesome. This is so great to keep up your mobility. If you're cycling, great. We're going to move in that other plane now. It seems like it's the perfect complement.
Well, and that was, you know, when I was mentioning the pillars earlier, that's our second pillar, which is performance. So when mm-hmm. we're looking at performance, we have to look at this wheel of, you know, sciencey word, biomotor abilities. And you can just think of that as physical abilities, right? For anyone who hasn't heard of that. So if we're looking at this wheel, and this change, you know, can change slightly depending upon who you're reading or who's talking, but you think, okay, as a human body, what are my physical attributes or abilities as far as movement goes? And I have strength, power, speed, endurance, coordination, stability, flexibility, mobility. So this is my circle. If I'm an athlete, let's say, maybe I'm only expressing my strength, power, speed, biomotor abilities, but I'm not really paying much attention to the rest of the circle. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm a yoga practitioner and I'm really expressing my stability, mobility, flexibility, but I'm not really looking at my dynamic abilities and coordination on the other side. So one of the cool things about Animal Flow is yeah, we can use it as a totally integrated approach to movement, or we can pull it apart and say, okay, well, if I have a person who is already pretty strong and powerful and they need more mobility, I've got an entire library for them of things they can do. If I have someone who's already really bendy and pliable and I need to make them more dynamic, cool, I've got an entire library of things that they can do. So we can really pick and choose how we want to drop these movements into their training to complement their training. So we're not saying don't do that thing anymore. We're saying, hey, this will allow you to do that thing hopefully better, longer.
Yeah.
So it really does allow us to fill in and complete those deficits within our human animal.
Do you get this question a lot? what's the difference between animal flow and yoga? Do people make that mistake sometimes?
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, I'm always the first to say, I've never been a huge practitioner of yoga. And I know that if you're watching some of the movements in animal flow, so we have a component animal flow we call our form specific stretches. And those, when you're looking at them, it's only six movements, but when you're looking at them, someone do them in sequence, you might go, oh, that's yoga. But the movements are performed very differently. And remember, the intention behind them is very different. So there's no passive point in any of these movements. We're trying to build strength through movement and end range. So we're really focusing on creating internal tension. We're never thinking about creating passive flexibility. We're always trying to think about creating active stability and strength. So it really does, even if two movements look similar, it's what the intention is of that movement.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So my other question was for you. So is this your main modality, or do you sometimes still go in the weight room? Do you cycle? Do you still break? Are you still a B-boy?
I haven't practiced animal flow in years. No, that's clearly not true. I have my movement practice is typically animal flow and or some sort of dance, and mostly my stuff that I'm really enjoying right now is floor-based work. So I'm really loving kind of more modern floor-based work. But anyways, so animal flow is the majority of my movement training. And then I have my more traditional strength training. And in that world, it's predominantly calisthenics still. So it's body weight. And then I will load some of those patterns as well after I've done my skill work within those patterns, if that makes sense. And the reason that I do that is because, you know, again, when we're looking at like that biomotor ability spectrum, and we're looking at what we should be able to do as human animals, moving things is also something that we should be able to do. So yes, we should be able to move our body through space, through all directions, all planes of motion, at all joint angles, but we also need to be able to move other objects through space as well.
Awesome. I was just super curious as to that. Now let's say, because everyone's going to want to do this now, right? As they should. How does someone get started? Let's say I live in a small town in Nebraska. I'm not anywhere near, you know, a studio that offers animal flow. How do people get involved in this?
Yeah, so we have multiple ways, and you can really choose your own adventure here. You can decide how much you want to get into it. So let's say if there are instructors near me or there are classes near me, you can go to the animalflow.com website and check out our directory there and hopefully find a trainer or instructor near you. So that's one way if you want to experience a live scenario. Another way that's less involved is you could go to our on-demand channel. So we have an app, it's called Animal Flow On Demand. And on that app, you can access it on your phone, your tablet, your desktop. We have classes, flows, and tutorials. So it's a quite extensive library. You can do a 2-week trial. If it doesn't work for you, just unsubscribe. I won't be angry. It's totally fine. Or you could go to our YouTube channel, and we have, I believe now, a couple of classes up, full-length classes that you can just try out for free. And then also, if you go to our website, you can find 3 tutorials that build a flow there as well. So you can decide your level of engagement, or you can just go to Instagram and, like, you know, go to Animal Flow Official and try to copy what the other people are doing.
Yeah, I mean, you have to go, at least go to Instagram and check it out, because you're looking at it, oh yeah, I could do that, sure. And then like you get down on the ground and it's a whole other ballgame, but it's doable. It just takes practice. I don't want people to think you can't do it. They just make it look effortless when it does require a little bit of effort.
Right. And that, you know, and that, I think that's also, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is also a great talking point, which is, you know, sometimes when people see animal flow at a high level, because, you know, a lot of people that are posting on Instagram or on social media, they're posting like their best flows. So they've been practicing. They're like, I want to show off what I've been doing. If I'm currently sedentary or I'm not moving, I don't have any type of movement practice, I may look at that and go, yeah, no thanks. That looks way out of my realm right now. So that's why I think it is important to mention, look, those are just that, you know, typically when you see those videos, that practitioner has spent a lot of time, they've had a lot of patience, they've had a lot of consistency. But the whole concept of Animal Flow was that anyone could start, and they could start wherever they're at and be and feel successful where they're at. Once they build the foundations, then they can progress forward.
Yeah, that's truly important. Like, really, anybody can do this.
Yeah.
It's so accessible for everyone. We never said where we could find your documentary, We Invite You to Move. Where should we search for that? Just Google it, or?
Yeah, yes, you can Google it, but also we have it on the animalflow.com website.
Okay, great. And as a business owner too, I'm just taking a moment to sit back and look at what you've been able to build. That's pretty remarkable.
It's been a wild ride. You know, it's been a decade, and to look at how, you know, my first workshop, I had one person in it. And now we have, you know, 12 to 15,000 people that have gone through our trainings, and most of them have gone on to become certified instructors. We have workshops in 44 countries. Like, I mean, it's cool to see how much it's grown and how connected our community is. You know, it's, for whatever reason, it doesn't attract terrible people. And the people who are really into Animal Flow really love to help other people out. There's no hierarchy. There's no elitist, you know, dogma. It's all like, yeah, everyone come play, let's hang out. And if you don't understand it, I want to help you understand it.
I found that to be so true, as I was new to your movement and I went to that workshop in Boulder, and I did know two people there. But you know, when you do something like that, you get broken up into groups or doing partner stuff with people that you don't know, which is also very good for everyone. I had such a great experience, and I would be paired up with people who had been doing it for years, but I never had that feeling of, I don't know, they just were very warm and welcoming. I'll say that. It was very,
yes,
it was a very positive experience. So with the trainings, what if someone is listening to this and they're a yoga teacher, they're a trainer right now, and it's something that they want to offer? How do they get involved in that? How do they get certified?
Yeah, so they can just attend a workshop. So our level one workshops are just weekend workshops. They're 2 days. Mm-hmm. If you want to actually teach Animal Flow, you would have to have a pre-existing certification or accreditation that would allow you to teach other people. So whether that be your yoga instructor, your personal trainer, your physical therapist, you know, your dance teacher. So you would just need to have something already existing that allows you to teach other people. If you wanted to take it just for your own practice, we have a lot of people who take the workshop just for their own knowledge and performance. That's also something that's totally fine. But if you want to teach it to other people, you would then go through the certification process. And once certified, you can teach it however you want, meaning you can teach it in group, you can teach it in one-on-ones, you can take it apart and use it as tools, like we mentioned earlier. And we offer workshops, you know, now we offer workshops where live workshops are doable, all around the world. And we also do have lots of Zoom online offerings, which we found to be quite successful. And when I say successful, I just mean that, like, they actually work. We, you know, if you would have asked me 3 years ago if I ever thought an Animal Flow workshop would work online, I'd be like, hell no, not a chance. But they actually do work really, really well. So if someone out there is wanting to take a workshop, you can check out the full schedule at animalflow.com.
Perfect. So my one last question for you, like, what is the future of Animal Flow? What are you envisioning? What do you want?
Yeah. I want every person around the world to be.
Let's do it. I
hope, and going back to the We Invite You to Move documentary, I hope that for some people it becomes their gateway. I hope it becomes their gateway drug into movement. For other people, I hope that it serves them as, again, completing their human animal profile. But as far as things that we have in the pipeline, next year, Animal Flow Kids will finally launch. We've had that in the works for a long time, and it will be ready towards the first quarter of the year. And we're really excited to see how that grows, because, you know, we've had, for the past 10 years, we've had so many people send us videos, pictures of their kids wanting to get involved and wanting to do Animal Flow with them. And especially, you know, our instructors' kids. And so we will have offerings for that next year, which we're very excited about.
That is so awesome. And I can just imagine kids probably pick it up way quicker than adults do.
Yeah. Oh, kids are so fast. They're so fast. And we have an online magazine called The Flowist, which people can find at animalflow.com. And a story that I think is coming out this week or next week, it's a two-part series on flowing with families. So, you know, kids getting involved. And there are a couple of quotes from some of the instructors who say, like, their kids were watching them and they didn't realize that they were practicing in the background. And then they kind of figured out what was going on, the kid knows the entire flow, and then they can do it together, which is just super, super cool.
That's amazing. Well, Mike, thank you so much for taking time, not only during the holiday, but in between your move. Like, I'm so grateful for your time today.
My pleasure. It was a blast talking to you.
Yeah. I'll be sure to look up a workshop that's local so I can show you how much of a beginner I am. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Here's the Deal. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it out with your friends. And also, if you have any guests that you think I should speak to, please send them my way. I am looking forward to making this third season the best season yet.